Michelle are back. So I'd encourage you to just give a hug. Don, the Johnsons are back. Here we are over here. Yeah, it's nice to see that, but don't ever, let's not forget those who have gone, not gone on to be with the Lord, because they're not worried, but all those that used to sit in here that most of them have gone on to retirement or another part of life, and let's never miss them either. And I'd like to just give a, I was thinking about them when I thought about Walt and Michelle this morning and being here. Dave and Bernie, and shout them out. Della. The McMillans, Della.
I saw Della.
Dave and Michelle Weaver from across the way. I mean, there's so many Kathleen and Bill, Danny and Deb Blakesley, and I mean, the list goes on and on. And you know, the Ummels, and they're coming, I heard, soon. So Ummel warning is here. Before we go to Hebrews, but keep thinking about those names, and if you get one, shout it out. I mean, why not? It's hopefully they might be watching, and wouldn't that be nice to know that somebody's thinking of you when you're not around? So before we go to Hebrews 11, I'd ask us to turn to Deuteronomy 31. And I hope it's an encouragement to most of us, any one of us. It was to me this week before I went into trying to break the story of Moses in here, at least into three separate parts, and I'll explain that. But within some situations, you know, that I've had to make, and Pat, and we've been talking about choice, and that's what this section with Moses has to deal with, that you and I, whether we want to believe it or not, we do have, I mean, at least we're founded on the fact that we do have choice, and we do have a free will. Now, this isn't very theological, but if you don't think we have free will or the option to choice, then look at your life this week as you go along, the things you do, the things you say, blah, blah, blah. Don't tell me that was God, and you were constrained. So choice is something that confronts us every moment of the day. And sometimes those choices are fearful. Sometimes they're hurtful. Sometimes they're just like spinning around to the point where we doubt whether we're hearing or not. And I kept getting led back to Deuteronomy 31. So if you're there, verse 6. And this promise, this blessing is as real as it was then today, right here at this time. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, the nefarious they, whatever it might be in our life. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Wow. I mean, that's not just some words on a page. That's our almighty God who, if he says it, it's there. What keeps us in the positions we're in some of our fears, in some of our doubts, in some of the choices that we do have to make? So I hope we can see some of that today in the story of Moses. There's so many stories about Moses, and I wonder, you know, God, Holy Spirit, why did you just choose these three out of all the stories? And I feel because, you know, simple answer is because it's of faith. It's not the things that they messed up, the people that we're looking at. It was the example that they could present to us today of what faith, and even not so much faith in my faith or faithfulness, but in his faith. And his faith, what the results could possibly be. So that's what we're going to look at today. And, you know, we've seen, I wanted to break this up into three sections. Red Sea, hopefully, will be next week. We've been looking at parental faith, how important parental faith is. Very important. Personal faith is what we're going to be looking at today with Moses because of that parental faith. The personal faith that he had and how it progressed over from when they got him out of the Nile to the point where he was 120 years old. And then we're going to see some group faith. I really, for the first time I saw that, and that's with the Red Sea. We're going to look at some group faith, which is pretty important, I feel. So what we're looking at in this section of Hebrews 11, 23 through 29, are the three R's of faith, in a sense. It's the refusal of faith. Remember, Moses' parents refused. So in faith, there's a refusal to certain things that we have to make choices about. And we saw that refusal of faith. We're going to see today the reproach of faith, because sometimes when we make these choices and we make them through faith, there's a lot of reproach from other people. How many, no hands, but anybody lose any friends, as we used to call them, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, or something waned somewhere along the line, or you weren't involved in the same groups you used to be in there? There's a refusal of faith, a reproach of faith, but the greatest thing is what we'll see in that Red Sea is there's a reward of faith. Looking towards that reward, which was something that Craig and I looked at this morning. We were talking about that. He was mindful of that. So we're going to get to that. So parental faith, let's remember, it is our Christian parental responsibility. It's not just something that if it's convenient or our kids like it or whatever else. It's our duty, as we know from when we read in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. We have some examples in 2 Timothy. Remember in 2 Timothy, 3:15 maybe it was in there, that Paul was commending Timothy on the faith that he had from when he was a child, the Holy Scriptures that you heard and you knew when you were a child, given to you by your mother. And I mean, parental faith. I know it's not an important thing. And for some people, one of the hardest things to do is to witness to your own family, though, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, it really is. They're ones that, like, I know you. I know who you are. I know what you don't give me that. What do you, the hardest ones that we have to witness to are our family. And our children are the most important out of the hard part of our families. So today's text, we're going to show that faith, the choices of that faith as we've been looking at, and some of the results that come along with it. And I don't think we'll ever see physically the results of our faith until the day we stand before our Lord. And we hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in. And when he brings those rewards that Moses and everybody that we were looking at so far was conscious of, we'll never know the full extent of those rewards or the amount of love that went into those rewards for each and every one of us. Customer, it's not like he goes to, who do you buy from? Oriental Trader. When we used to do things for the kids, Pat could buy 300 items for like a 3 cents a piece. And kids loved it. God's not buying from Oriental Trader. God's making something special. However he does that. Start over for Tommy there. Let's get this one going. No. God's making something special. That's the understanding of the reward that lies before us, that we need to think, What is it? Remember when you were a kid? I wonder what I'm going to get for Christmas. I wonder what's in that big box. I wonder what is God doing because of our faith at this very time, not pie in the sky somewhere. So today's text will hopefully show us that. And it'll also show us, I feel, that how faith and fear, which are opposites. I saw a shirt last night on TV with some guy, a Christian guy, was talking, remember? He had this shirt on, and it said faith, and it had a line, and then it had fear, but fear was upside down and backwards. I thought, what a great shirt. I saw that other shirt, shut up and do something. it's like, that's what we need to do. Start to talk about our faith. But we're going to see also how faith and fear, which are opposites, but I think they're too often found together in our lives and in our choices. And I think a lot of, at least speaking for myself, a majority of my choices and decisions were made with fear instead of faith. And that fear doesn't mean shaking, and it's like, what if this doesn't work? What if I become ostracized? Whatever your what if is. But what if God really comes through if I make this choice in faith, according to his word? What could possibly happen? Well, we're seeing that with Moses and some of the great things that God did with his life. Faith and fear. One is dormant. One's going to be dominant in our lives. And that's up to me. That's not up to God. That's up to me. And there is that old story, everybody knows it, about the dogs that are in a dog fight. Which one is the strongest? And the guy who was fighting the dog said, the one I feed the most is the strongest. Whatever you and I feed the most, that's what's going to be dominant. Dormant should be our fear. Dominant should be our faith. So hopefully I can find out, we can find out how we're going to overcome. But more than that, I think what I need to do is understand that I do have a choice. I do have a choice. But the question that followed that this week with me was, which one will I choose, though? It's easy to think I got this and I have this. What if I do this? Well, what if I do this? I think the real important key after we look at Moses' life and what he came under in his personal faith and his reproach of faith is the choice. What one will I choose? So that's for you. I know what I'm going to beat myself up with this week and give it the best. So let's read Moses' story in Hebrews 11, 23 through 29. Let's get it in a group, but we're breaking it up into three spots, three portions. By faith, Moses in 23, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The refusal in our faith. And we'll be having that choice every minute, I think, after we think about it now. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 26, esteeming the reproach for, most of the King James is of, esteeming the reproach for Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith in 29, they, and that's going to be important next week, they, not just him, they, group faith. Something happens when we as a body stand together as one body. Not just arms or legs or whatever flopping and flailing around. God designed us to be one body. And by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land when the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Father God, help us to see the applications that you have from these wonderful stories of faith, from these people that we should try to imitate in a sense, not be just like them, but to understand their faith in you, Father, brought about results that this world can't even begin. So we ask you to still our hearts and minds as we approach your holy word, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, probably about 40 years old at this time, could be questionable, it's not that important to a degree, but it is. As we get older in our faith, we should begin to not just grow old, we should grow old in the Lord, if that makes any sense. A lot of times we just grow old, period. We're in the same spot we were when we first came to the Lord. Or maybe, you know, we gave it our best for 10, but now we're getting old and we slow down. Faith should grow. We should not just grow old. And here at this time, when he was come to years, probably 40 years, he refused, there's that refusal of faith, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had a choice to make, just like you and I have choices to make after we leave here today. We can choose the things of the world, or we can choose the things of God. And as most of us in here, as I look around, know that most of the things that the world had to offer were fleeting pleasures, weren't they? How many things that we chose that were really wrong in our lives, that technically they brought us to Christ? How many of those pleasures of those wrong choices and sin really are continuing to bring joy, peace in Jesus Christ? I would doubt any, really. Fleeting. Look at the story in choices of Esau in Genesis 25. He made one choice that changed the whole direction of his life. And I've said that too often, and I try to say it to our kids, to the younger kids that are in the church. One choice, not a bunch of them, one choice in the wrong direction, continuing year after year after year with that choice can ruin your life. One choice in the right direction, made in faith with Jesus Christ, will put us on a path that I don't think we really understand here and once we get there. You know, and that one choice that Moses made is what we're looking at today. By faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God instead of the things of this world, esteeming being called whatever. And a Christian, not at this time, but in like Acts, Christian was a term of derision. It was like those Christians. It was like calling somebody a dirtbag, a waste of human life. He chose, rather, to go with that because he was looking forward to what God had promised him. That was over and above anything that this world ever had for him. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, he lived to be 120 years. You know, that was quite a blessing. He parted the Red Sea at probably 80 years old. 120 from that, still got four. But he's been in heaven for 4,000 years, right? Is my math correct? He's been enjoying the reward for 4,000 years, and it's not over. Wait till we get there. I can't wait to meet Mo. I mean, it's like, you know, this is going to be wonderful. He's still enjoying it, and I might say that a few times today. I mean, that really got me there. So that choice, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction. That's something that we have been taught, I think, over probably the span of most of our lives, is that if you become a Christian and you get born again and you give your life to Jesus Christ, it's just going to be ducky. No, it's not. It's not. It's going to be hell on earth at times. Everything that you ever thought should happen because I'm a Christian and I'm following Jesus is going to fall to dirt. And you're going to wonder, why? Why did that happen? It's because God isn't done yet. So that one choice that I think we have to see, this is kind of like, this is a Charles Stanley moment. That choice that he made, remember Charles Stanley? Charles went and passed, and he's with the Lord right now, but he'd go like this. Now watch this. Now watch this. And I mean, I'm sitting in a living room, and that finger was touching my nose through the TV screen. Now watch this. Watch this. That faith, that choice that he made, produced suffering. And he made the choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the momentary passing high, you know, affair, whoever that's really trying to make choice decisions or saying, I really enjoyed the bad decisions I made in my life, you know. We try to weave that in. That's what brought me here today. Those decisions are what brought me and you into this house of God today. But who's really happy with them? Nobody. but it causes suffering. Get ready for that. Because when that does happen, then what happens is the enemy of our soul gets into our ear and our head and says, oh, you must be doing something wrong. Oh, God mustn't be liking what you're doing right now. Oh, that, you know, you really believe that? It causes suffering. And if we're ready for that, I think we can confront it with another faith choice that, like, yet though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. Well, you stupid. Are you kidding? Are you foolish? You're going to trust God in something like this? Yeah. Well, look what happened. Look what happened in your life from trusting God. Well, I'm going to trust him again because he's not done. Suffering. And I don't think many of us as Christians are ready to understand the suffering that does come along with some of our faith choices and some of our choices to follow God. We think he's a cure-all. We think that he might be the answer for all my problems, my finances, my health. Praise God. Amen. But it's not always the answer to our prayers. But praise God anyhow. Amen. Praise him anyhow, because one day I'm going to find out why. I'll throw in a plug right now. I listened to The Teeth of Grace this week. I was asked by Kathy to, she has a podcast, and if any of you have a Google pad, just put teethofgrace.com and listen to what's going on. Suffering is part of our life. Why are we thinking that God is the answer to have that stop in my life? It's not. It's not. So it's all part of faith. Philippians 1:29. Better get going. Philippians 1, verse 29. We all know it. But again, have we really heard it? Have we accepted it? Will I choose to receive it? Like I said, I have choices, but what one am I going to really choose? In Philippians verse 29 says, for unto you, and that's all of us, is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him. Oh, isn't that beautiful? I have that. It's given. I can believe on him. But I think every translation says, but also to suffer for his sake. Did you sign on for that? Did you sign on for that? I signed on to get my life made right. And nobody really told me back then that I was going to suffer as I got older. But it is there. It's every bit as much as God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all know that. And it brings a smile to us. People stand in the back of stadiums with signs, John 3:16. But nobody stands up, I love Jesus and I'm suffering. You know, I'm not trying to be funny, but it's just, but don't ever think that the suffering is some kind of badge of honor, because sometimes our suffering is because of bad choices. Oh, I'm suffering for the Lord. I don't need a car because I trust in Jesus. You know, that kind of Christianese, it's got to go out the window someday. But be ready that when we take a stand for faith, there's going to be somebody who'll want to knock us down, because they're ultimately taking a shot at our Lord and Savior. So it's been given to us. Let's go back to Hebrews. Verse 26, I was thinking, what made him? Okay, so here he is in the palace. Can you imagine the picture? He's a kid that should have actually died, been killed by his parents. God, in his favor, brings him into Pharaoh's house, not just some other unbeliever's house, but Pharaoh. This guy could have been, you know, living the high life. And he made that choice. What made him make that choice? It'd be like being at, you know, Mar-a-Lago down in Florida today without Donald, or, you know, I'm not getting political, just in a beautiful spot like that. What would make you come home, you know, to live in a pup tent somewhere? It doesn't make sense when you look at the immediate, the temporal. But Moses looked at the reward. What has God promised him? The descendants that are coming from the forefathers. I'm here right now, and it's kind of up to me. And it might be up to you. maybe just in your family, to lead those kids across that Red Sea and watch the world get drowned behind you. But the choice has to be made. And if you're going to suffer, as we'll see with Moses, he suffered after that choice a little bit. They all griped about him. They started singing, but they sang the song on the wrong side. They should have been singing that in faith over on the other side before they left. But it was after they saw everything fall apart and their lives were okay. Now we're happy. That's not how this works. Not how it works. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing. There's that faith and fear again. His parents weren't afraid. He's not afraid. And then we're going to see that just because of a choice, and maybe in your life or your life, other people are going to see it, and they're not going to be afraid. They're going to give it a shot. What do we got to lose? What can happen to us? I can remember before, I mean, as a kid, my dad always told me and Teddy, don't be afraid. The worst thing they can do is kill you. And I used to sit there going, oh, well, I didn't want to die. The worst thing they can do in New York, where I grew up, they could, man, maybe they'll kill you. Don't be afraid of that. Now I'm thinking it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing anymore. That's the worst thing that can happen is I die. Boom, I'm with the Father. Amen. What made him so confident in his choice? And I think it's because he was confident in the Lord, not in himself. And I think too many of us as Christians, myself out in front of you, I'm too confident in what I can do and what I can't do. And I need to be more confident in what Jesus Christ can do, amen, what God can do. Amen. And stop questioning, is this going to work? And what if it doesn't work? Well, don't I serve a big enough God that if I make a mistake, he can take that mistake and change it. Wow. Yeah, his faith overpowered his fear. Hey, go back to Hebrews 10. His faith overpowered his fear. So some of us have choices to make today. Might make them tomorrow. Some of those choices are already in action, and there is a concern. What if? What if? What if? Listen to what God says here. And I feel it's to each one of us that needs to make that choice. Verse 35 of Hebrews 10. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Confidence in what? Myself, like I said, what I can do. I know what I can do and what I'm capable of. But I'm starting to learn more and more what I'm really capable of and what I could really mess up in my life. I've come to that conclusion. Instead of rationalizing why it happened and everything, it's because I trusted Doug instead of God. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. There it is again. Hey, Craig, isn't that what we were talking about? Great recompense of reward. My temporal will be far exceeded by the eternal. What I see now is going to die. It's going to go away. But what God has ready now, like I said, 4,000 years, Moses has been enjoying. Wow. Wow. For you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, we all want God to move now, right? Do it now. Do it for me. Save my children. Save my father. Save my mother. Save this one here. Get that one to quit. But we always want God to do the work for us. But what he's telling us here is that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise, the recompense of the reward, our salvation. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, listen, will come. Amen. He's not tarrying. He's not forgetting about us. I mean, this should be exciting. God is not tarrying. Oh, gee, Dad, I forgot. When am I supposed to go back? No. He knows what's going on. God knows the exact time. Jesus knows salvation. And there's more unbelievers that have to come in. But he's not tarrying, and he will come. Now, the just shall live by faith, 38. Faith. this faith that we've received, that has been given to us to believe. And in that faith, will I believe that I'm also going to suffer, and I'm going to take it without griping. When I do something good, no problem. But when I suffer over here for a stupid choice, am I going to blame God? Am I going to walk out? Am I going to separate my fellowship? No. The just will live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back. So take heart in that. Yeah, we mess up. Yeah, we make bad choices and decisions. But in God's eyes, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or an eternal separation from God, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, the recompense of the reward. We're going real soon to stand before the Lord, whether that's physically in our own health. Doc is there. I always use him. Write me something that says I'm going to live for 30 more years, will you, Doc? He won't do it because he's smart. We don't know, but we're going to be standing before an almighty God before we even know it. So in my choices, I need to ask, I guess, today, what am I willing to fight for? And what am I afraid of? What am I willing to fight for? See, I don't need to fight for God. You just let him do his own defense. That was Spurgeon one time, says, how do you defend God? And Spurgeon says, how do you defend a lion? You just let him out of the cage, was Spurgeon's attitude. That lion doesn't need any defense. God doesn't need defense. He needs belief. He needs my faith. So what am I willing to fight for in my life, in those choices? What am I afraid of in those choices? Confront them. And can I have just a few more? Listen, I just want God to speak to us. Turn to Matthew 10. I'm so afraid at times, right? And it's like I said, it's not a shaking fear. It's just something that gets into us. And man, the other night, I almost came running out of the room again, screaming, Ma, how cool this is. She's had me do that before. She's done it to me. I'm right in the middle of something real important. And she says, wait till you hear this. I just heard it, and I'm like, okay. What's wrong with me? It's God speaking. Whether he's speaking through you, when we repeat this. So listen to this, 28, and this is just one of them. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And this is like John 14, read it. Don't let your heart be troubled. You're making a choice this week. Bring it back. I'm trying to bring it home. We got choices to make. Don't be afraid. Make them in faith, not in fear. Don't make the choices in a sense of what's in this for me. And there's some, you know, like I said, you eat Cheerios or Rice Krispies. That's not what I'm talking about. Something important here. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will my father confess also. Him I will confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Serious talk. Pretty serious talk. And I wonder some of the choices I make, if I make them in fear of man. I wonder, it's not like God took my salvation away. It's just like that's not happening right now. We've got a little bit more in our lessons. Matthew 6, we're in the same book. Matthew 6. Matthew 6:19-21. When I was saying some of the choices, what's in it for me? Here, now. Show me that. I want to see the numbers. I want to crunch everything. Verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. And if you don't think that's right, anybody got a garage like mine? Pat made me clean out this loft in the garage. Didn't make me, she just insisted, but I chose to listen to her. I pulled down some things that had been up there for well over 20 years, maybe 30. There was probably a half an inch of barbecue smoke, grease, dust. Open it up, the mice had gotten in there and ate some things. One box, though, had all of Jason and Dee's baby shoes, blankets, and there wasn't one mouse poop in there. It was God. The stuff of this world that means nothing was just mouse bait. That's all it was. Don't lay up treasures for yourself where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's do one more. To Timothy. To Timothy, 1-7. Now we'll just do 7, timeline. The choices we make, like we've been saying, faith over fear. They're both coupled in our lives. As a Christian, don't ever count yourself something less because fear is in there. It's a tool of the enemy. It's a weapon that is against us. Fear, anybody who's been taught that, can be one of your greatest allies. It heightens your senses. It makes you aware of everything that's going on around. Don't be afraid of fear. And what the Lord says to us in 7 is, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. That's a period amen. Yes, our heart might start beating and everything, but we don't have to worry in a sense of the results. But he's given us the spirit of power, the Holy Spirit, of love, godly love, and of a sound mind. That means we can figure things out. What a gift, what a promise. So the choices, look at how far-reaching they are. A choice of Moses' parents that was taught to him throughout his early years and lived out in front of him enabled Moses to make godly choices that we just read today. Not always. He got a little hacked, we're going to see, when he smacked the rock. Just like you and I, we don't always make good, godly choices, but God is big enough that he can use us as he did Moses here. Yeah? And for us, we had the 3 R's, but I was looking at, there's 3 C's also for our focus. We have choice. And what choice produces, if we walk in it enough, is courage. And we look at that and we see that in Moses 24 through 27. Gave up the palace, gave up all of the promises of riches and glory, gave up being identified with the royal family and everything. He gave it produces courage, which we're going to see next week, produces confidence, not in me, but in God. What would make anybody walk through that sea? That's confidence in God. And we'll see that hopefully next week. So, Father God, help us. Help us in these choices. Your word tells us we do have choice. And what we want to choose is life, Father. And not just an easy, comfortable life here, which every one of us really at the heart of hearts, Father. Who doesn't want that? But help us to look at the recompense of eternity with you, Father, so that we might be able to make godly choices without fear and embrace suffering when it does come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, teeth of grace. Put it on the back so we can run with it.
May I share something about that?
You might. Or you may.